All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing the local podcast. Good morning. It is September the 18th, 2023. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. If you like rain, it is definitely raining. Feels good. Ah, definitely feel the seasons changing. I don't know. I welcome the rain. It just sort of fits in right for the season, right? And this is a nice rain. So it is raining here on the East Coast. Hope it's beautiful wherever you are at. Yeah, it is Monday. Back to the grind. Had a great, great weekend. Didn't do much. Some of the same old usual stuff. Obviously worked on Friday. Worked on Saturday. Hung out on Saturday. Did some stuff around the house. Had to mow the grass and this and that. And then Sunday went paddling, which was fantastic. Went out and did, I don't know, almost, I think, nine miles. We have the big race coming up this Saturday. Today's Monday. This coming Saturday, we're racing in Brigantine, New Jersey. Should be fun. A little nervous. I don't know why. I mean, it's just paddling. It's not the end of the world. We're not, you know, nothing too crazy. But, I do get a little nervous. It's not... This whole experience in paddling obviously is new to me because I've never done it, right? I mean, I've paddled in a canoe probably like at, you know, camp. But this sort of level of paddling, no, I have never been involved in it. And so, unfortunately, I tend to, when I sort of find things that I like, I tend to go hard at it, right? I tend to throw myself into it. And I'm just worried that I didn't throw myself into this race because it is 12 miles. We have done 10 and a half, so it's another mile and a half. But I don't know the conditions. I don't know what it's like. I was talking to my buddy yesterday about it, and he says we go 4 miles straight out to the ocean. We find there's a buoy out there. We round the buoy. We head back in another 4 miles towards the shore, and then another 4 miles along the coast. And that all adds up to 12 miles, right? So that it... That it will be, but I, it sounds like if the weather is bad, there is an alternative route, I guess, in a bay. Maybe it's a lot like, I've never been to Brigantine, New Jersey. Couldn't tell you where it is. I could tell you because it's up by Atlantic City, but I've never been there. It's so funny. I ask people, what do you think of Atlantic or Brigantine, New Jersey? And everyone goes, oh, it used to be nice. It's funny, interesting. Getting old is letting go. Getting old is just letting go. I mean, isn't that the truth, right? That is the truth. It's all surrender. I give up, right? I think a few times that I've been trying to, I'm going to mix up my meetings. I'm starting some new meetings. And went to a new meeting last, well, I didn't go to a new meeting last night. I went to a meeting on Sunday, which typically I do not do. And it's a promises meeting. It's good, you know. I've actually spoke at it. It was funny. I was asked to speak at this meeting probably 8 weeks ago, 10 weeks ago, maybe in the beginning of the summer. Somebody asked me, I don't know, maybe it was even in the early spring, but somebody asked me if I would speak at that meeting, and it's a promises meeting, right? So you go and you pick a promise and then you share on it. And I shared on the 11th promise, which is intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us or baffle me or baffle us. I think it's baffle us, but intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. And that's I don't have a favorite promise. It's the most interesting one, right? That is the one to me that is a game changer. And but it was funny because I went to the meeting last night. A guy spoke, and he spoke on that same promise. And I guess it does have it's an interesting promise. And I think it's interesting how people have different perspectives of it, right? And I shared, of course, and I've shared this before. This to me was this is all about to me is accountability. Once again, right? It's one thing I've learned about getting sober over all the time I've spent working this program, working steps, working with others, working with the sponsor, yada yada. Accountability, accountability, accountability. I was living in a huge problem in my life. It was a huge problem. Whether it was the drinking, whether it just whatever it was I was doing, I was living in the problem. And what I've learned is as I've transitioned into trying to live into the solution, accountability was a huge bridge that tied the two together, for me at least. I blamed everything on everybody else. And it's a lot of people do that, right? I try not to do it because I know that if I'm doing that, I'm not being accountable. But my God, right? It's like people, like I know people, oh, I was going to do that, but I forgot. Oh, I was going to do that. I meant to do that, but I forgot. It's like, no, you can't. You didn't do it, right? You can't say that you thought about it. Thinking about it and doing it is not the same, right? It was always, I just forgot. Like, it's almost blaming forgetting. Right. Oh, I was going to do that, but I forgot. Stepped in. Let's give this guy a name. I forgot. Right. This is our new character in our life. Right. I forgot. A character defect. I forgot. But it was missing in my whole life, all my life. Right. And I think early on in life, yeah, it's supposed to. Right. It is everybody else's fault. How could it be mine? Right. But hopefully we gently change. Right. We start to become accountable. Unaffected by drugs and alcohol, hopefully, and good parenting, right, and good people in our lives, but people that can remind us, hey, you know, you played a role in this. I don't even know if my parents ever said that. I don't think so. I don't know. It's really weird. I think back on it, and I don't really remember that ever being a thing. It's a big message with me and my kids. You know, listen, this is the part you played. You have to own that. Own that, recognize that, don't do that again. Hopefully you don't end up in the same spot. But I had zero accountability in my life. I took responsibility for nothing. And I was in this program for a long time. And I shared last night, you know, when I came in this program, I was too important to get sober. Right? I had too much stuff going on. And I think that was really the thing that really stopped me from getting it the first time. Right. I mean, I've come into a program so many times to get sober, right? To satisfy the sideline people, right? There's this group of people on the sidelines that are always rooting for you to get better. And, you know, I've done it, right? I've gone to rehab. My parents sent me when I was 15. I went to a detox in San Diego. I've gone to the place up in York, PA. I've done a few of them. And none of them, well, the one up in York, PA, was I just needed a freaking break, man. I just needed that break from the damn alcohol, right? I'd worked a program. I'd sort of gotten a good foundation. It started. It was a decent foundation. But like I said, when you come in without any accountability, which I did, it's hard to see the trees through the forest, right? It's hard to see the part we play. If we're not willing to recognize that we played a part at all, Right. So I didn't pay attention to that stuff. So that first 5 years, you know, I mean, I was around it, right? I was in the program. I got to learn some stuff. I made some acquaintances. You know, I got a little taste, right? But my brain was completely, I was a victim of alcoholism. I was a victim of alcohol, right? And when you're a victim, that doesn't mean you're not accountable. When you're not accountable, you're a victim, right? Because what happens with a person that gets hurt or a victim, right? They're, oh, gather around. That person did this to me. Bum, bum, bum. Everybody saves the victim, tackles the bad person, right? And that's how I came in as a victim. Oh, this alcohol, bad alcohol and drugs. Reality is I picked it up. I bought it. I enjoyed it. I lifted it up to my mouth. I partook in all of it. And you know what? I had a lot of fun, right? I had a lot of fun. I was watching, I don't know why, and I know better. It's not that I know better. I just choose not to because I just don't like the discomfort that it brings me when I watch it. But lately, I've been watching a bit of Intervention. And just the part, I only like the part up until the intervention. Because once the intervention happens, I just feel like they're all full of shit, right? Okay, I'll go, right? I mean, you're surrounded, right? This was my whole world. I mean, I must have had 5 interventions, right? Everybody surrounds you. They put all this great stuff on you. And then you just have no option, right? You have no choice but to go. But you don't, you know, I'm speaking for me. I didn't want to get sober. I just wanted to stop getting caught. So when I said yes, I went as a victim, right? And then all this shit becomes a task, right? The 12 tasks of AA. And but that's, you know, it happens like that a lot. You know, that's how, unfortunately, a lot of us get our first introduction to this program is because we had to, right? Because we're a victim of alcoholism. And I don't know. I'm just, you know, accountability, accountability, accountability. I can't stress that anymore, right? For me, it's been a huge game changer, right? Start coming in as a person, you know, that wants help, not has to have it. And it's tough, but that's to me is what that promise is about. And the other thing I shared last night was that, listen, I already have a little bit of an issue with the promises meeting. I feel like they're not, I think they're written in the ninth step or we're after the ninth step. I'm not exactly sure where they're written. I know they're around the ninth step, right? They come after that, but I don't think they're written in a number form, right? Somebody has gone ahead and numbered them and made a list, right? I don't think it's the 12 promises of AA. I just think it's these promises that come true after we work this program. And once again, right, self-centered people getting looking for something to get, right? I do love a good promise. Promise me something, right? I promise. Oh, self loves that, right? There's these things that pop up in this program, at least in my world, that still, you know, promote self. Oh, these are I promise you're going to have these. You're going to get this. And I said last night, there's a lot of work that goes on before these promises. You know, we have to come in, we have to surrender, right? We admit. We have to get that, we have to start building a relationship with a God of our understanding. We start to have to try to live our lives and our actions in a better way, in a God-like way, right? The 4, we make that moral inventory. We're digging into this stuff. And at some point, we want this. I choose sobriety. I choose to take on this stuff, right? I mean, I've chosen this many times with a bunch of people staring over my shoulder, but in the end, when I was completely alone, everybody was gone. My parents had had enough. My ex-wife had had enough. My job had had enough. Everybody had had enough. I was alone. The disease got me exactly where it needed to get me by myself. All right, let's get into doing some drinking. That's when I decided, uh-oh, I need this. I need this. I get to do this. This is a gift. I have an opportunity. I can save this half-assed life that I've had so far. I can make something of it, maybe. I really can if I really want this. Because I am responsible for getting myself here. You know, I talked about how my babysitter, Danny, how he introduced us to drugs and alcohol. Not Danny's fault. You know, you hope you have people like that, Danny, that are a better influence on your kids, right? I hope they're, you hope you find them, but that's just sort of life, right? And so it's not all Danny's fault, really. Right? Danny was just a kid too. We're all just kids. Kids promoting kids, right? And so can't blame it on Danny. I used Danny in my story because there was something about Danny that was so awesome that I did have fear that he wouldn't like me. Even though Danny never ever said, if you don't do this, I won't like you. Danny never said that. But Danny was cool, right? Danny's hair parted in the middle. Danny was fast on a bike. Danny was awesome, right? And so I wanted to be associated with awesome. And listen, I even, you know, my last sponsor, Matt, who passed away, he was fucking cool too, man. He attracted me, his lifestyle, his... Where he had been and where he had gotten to due to being sober was attractive to me. You know, when I first came back from York, Pennsylvania, and I reached out to Matt and I said, hey, I need a sponsor. Actually, what I meant was, hey, you're freaking really cool and it would make me feel better if I hung out with you. And I hope that I can start to get whatever you got so that I can become somewhat like you. And what does that mean? Just a guy that shows up, right? Shows up every day, accountable, right? It's pretty funny how when you take drugs and alcohol out of a person's life and you just start living a normal life, how pretty kind of cool that is, right? There's some really there's value. I've talked, you know, I said this many times, but this is about creating value, right? Matt had a lot of value to me. You know, he had a job. He went to, you know, he managed his business. He worked with others in the program. He just did good stuff, right? But he also, he just did normal things. But when we're, especially what I used to look like, and how I look now makes me look great. But it also feels like society and the way people are today and the struggles that a lot of people are going through, just living a normal life looks pretty awesome, right? And Matt's life looked awesome. You know, so I was influenced by my buddy Danny, who looked cool and was awesome, into the darkness, and then I was influenced by my boy Matt, who looked awesome, and he enticed me back into the light through example. It's all about accountability. You know, I've shared that, you know, I've been talking to this guy, and you know, he doesn't have any accountability, and he's new. He shouldn't, right? Most of the time, people coming into a program, most of the time aren't accountable, right? Or they wouldn't be in the program, right? And he's not. He's not accountable. But he's, you know, I said, then I'm trying to figure out how do you introduce accountability to someone? Because usually when you do, that pisses them off. Right, dude, you played a role in this. God damn it. It's fucking so-and-so's fault, not my fault. Fuck you. I'm like, hey, you know. Like I told him, dude, if you cannot refrain from getting mad when somebody points something out that you need to work on, nobody's going to work with you. You know, getting mad like that, it's habit. It's all habit. Somebody allowed it. Right, if you have kids, you know, kids are a great example. Kids will do all sorts of shit, and you have to be the one that decides, we are not going to allow this, right? You know, when, you know, I remember there have been times in my life where my kids have come out, you know, and they get up early, and they don't like getting up, so they yell at you. I don't want to get up. It's like, okay, I understand you don't like getting up. I don't either, but you are not going to yell at me. You nip it in the bud, right? But if you don't, you see a lot of bad behavior, and it's just lack of accountability, I guess. It's hard to compare when they're kids. Kids are, you know, they're still new and stuff. But all right, I wanted to see how much time is going on here. Let's see if I can read a Daily Reflections. Yeah, I'm not nervous about this race coming up, but I'm a little bit nervous, but, you know, like my buddy says, if you're if you're having trouble, just call out, right? I can call four out, take a break, take a rest, right? It was so funny. We paddled the other day, and it was just the five of us, and we're out paddling, and it's tough, right? I'm getting thirsty. It's hot and shit. And so, but it was the five of us, and unfortunately, if one of us calls ourselves out, it's really tough for the boat to keep going. I mean, we can, but there would have been four of us paddling at the time. So, but it was like whoever quit first, and then the coach would be like, "All right, Lava, everybody pull your paddles." I'm like, four out. All right, Lava. Like, he made me quit. I had to quit first before he basically said, all right, everybody take a break. The first person to quit set the tone for the quitting of the rest of the boat, or, just to take a break. But I don't know. It was pretty funny. But, yeah, I think if it gets too hard, I can call out and take a second. I don't want to do that. But, I will if I have to. And I'm going by myself, which is kind of a drag. Well, I'm going with my buddy. I think his name is Will. I don't know. I can't remember his name. But him and I are going to drive up on Saturday. And we'll hang out. We're going to stay with Dave. He's renting a house. And we'll just, have fun. I'm going to enjoy it. It's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, I've been doing it all summer. I should be absolutely strong enough to do 12 miles. But we shall see. All right, I want to read this daily. All right. September the 18th. Loved back to recovery. Ooh, that sounds good. All right, September 18th. Loved back to recovery. Our whole treasured philosophy of self-sufficiency had to be cast aside. This had not been done with old-fashioned willpower. It was instead a matter of developing the willingness to accept these new facts of living. We neither ran nor fought, but accept we did. And then we were free. Best of the Grapevine, Volume 1, page 198. I can be free of my old enslaving self. After a while, I recognize and believe in the good within myself. I see that I have been loved back to recovery by my higher power, who envelops me. My higher power becomes that source of love and strength that is performing a continuing miracle in me. I am sober and I am grateful. Yeah. Well, you know what? That's a great reading. I can be free of my old enslaving self. After a while, I recognize and believe in the good within myself, right? I see that I have been loved back to recovery by my higher power who envelops me. My higher power becomes the source of love and strength that is performing continued miracles on me. Yeah. Accountability, right? I can be free of my old enslaving self. One of the definite characteristics about my old self was I didn't have any accountability, right? I was always that same old story, right? Just a victim of everything. I can't believe that happened. If it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be here. It was always somebody else's fault. And you just can't have a spiritual relationship with a higher power if you're a victim, because you don't have any accountability, right? Listen, obviously, if something happens to you and you are an actual victim, sure, I understand. But even at that, even when we're really a victim, I think it's like when we're not having accountability, right? We become a victim. But when we're actually a victim, that's the last thing we want to be, as a victim. I want to get out. I want to get past this. We got to catch or figure out what happened. I don't want to be a victim to this. But when it comes to the disease, I want to be a victim, right? I don't want to be accountable. I want it to be, because all this is obviously me just guessing. I don't fucking know shit. But maybe it's also, I just didn't know, right? It's over time. You put the alcohol and the drugs into your life and it stops that natural progression. Maybe if I hadn't put drugs and alcohol into my body, maybe I would have recognized my accountability or lack of sooner. Maybe. I don't know. That's what I came away with from that meeting last night. That's that promise, you know, intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle me. You know, to me, it's about being accountable, starting to recognize the role that I play in everything that happens in my life. The sooner I start to recognize that, the better, the faster and the quicker I can move from this horrible place. It's just one incident after another, one victim being a victim after another, right? I don't want to live like that. I can't even think of, you know, I've had two incidents where I sort of felt a little bit victim-y. One, I was paddling and they changed the time, so I was late. I pride myself on being on time. I pride myself on being early. And I was late. I was called on my way. Where are you? I'm on my way. We're waiting for you. I was like, shit, what happened? I'm like on my way to be early right now, and now I'm already late. Oh, we changed the time. It was in the text. I was like, oh, right. Well, that's the fucking text fault, right? I don't know, right? I guess I could check my text every 15 minutes, right? There's probably some give and take there. Maybe me used to getting, or, you know, in the beginning when I joined the club, there was a lot of texting, right? There's a lot of group texting. I think we're trying to figure that out. Now, you know, Dave put out a group text and he's like, you know, give it a thumbs up. At least I know you've read it, right? I didn't do a thumbs up that day. So I fucked up, right? But we didn't have that rule put in place either. So my fucking up, I guess, helped create the new rule of when we post something, make sure we, you know, react to it. But, you know, the fact is that I just, if I'm part of it, I play a role somehow. Right. And so what did I guess on mornings like that, I need to reach out, double check, right? Cover my own ass. Check and make sure that we are still on schedule. I did that yesterday. I reached out to Dave. Hey, we still on for 8:30 in the morning? Yada, yada, yada. Yes, yes. Everything's good. You know, I've learned from that. Been a couple incidents like that where I've been late to certain things. And I'm like, I can't believe that. Because I am not late. I'm early. I'm a half hour early. Pretty funny. Yeah. The other thing I was going to talk about. You know, I'm not going to my step meeting tonight. I'm going to a different meeting. The steps are, I'm bored with them. You should definitely do them. I've done them. We can still talk about them. You know, I think we were going on to the eighth step, which is made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Huge, huge step, right? But, you know, there's, like I'll say, from whether it's this or in the promises, a lot of work has to happen, right, so that we don't do this as a victim, right? We want to be accountable. You know, I said this last night, you know, I got punched that time by that guy at that house in California, and I carried that around a long time as a victim of him punching me, son of a bitch, right? I can't believe that guy did that. Shouldn't have been in this house, right? That's just a fucking stupid, stupid mistake, right? It's what you get, Tom. Shouldn't have been there. Shouldn't have even freaking been there. But that's where I was, and that's what happened. And so it's always a great example. Until I could recognize that, I was just a victim of that. The problem is when I'm a victim of something, I don't learn anything, right? I don't change anything. I don't become better for the next time. Right now my problem now is that I'm like, I just don't do anything, right? I just don't go anywhere. Like, I was a client of mine, they were down in Dewey Beach, right? Seeing a band, having a blast. I'm like, I ain't going down there. I'm going to be accountable for myself. I'm not even going to put myself in that position for anything bad to happen. I know I won't drink, but, you know, I don't want to hit by a drunk driver. I don't want to bump into someone. People are fucking off the rails nowadays, man. They'll fight, and it's crazy. So I just am like, avoid it all. So my wife and I, we just kick it all the time. I was thinking, this is the other thing that's been weird. You know, I'll like, I don't know. I'm not going to get into it. I just worry about dumb shit sometimes, and it's not necessary, and I don't know what that's about. Maybe we'll talk about it on the next time, but it's like cherry-picking bullshit, and that's sort of what was going on last night, and I was like, is this my life? You know, not doing anything, hanging out, kicking it, right? And, you know, I like to make the most of it. Luckily, I'm doing a lot of fun stuff like paddling, going to a lot of meetings. I did go to the meeting last night. That was new. Be at the new meeting tonight. It's not a step meeting. But like I said, we can still chat about it. The eighth step, you know, make that list. That is important. You know, I've my buddy Gary, he said this is because, you know, when I make this list, I look at it. I'm like, God, I'm not doing any of this stuff. And he goes, yeah, this is a great list to show what we are capable of. Capable of. We might not do it now, but we've done it in the past. And if you're accountable, you can recognize these things, you know, because we don't want to do them again. All right, listen, thank you. Have a great day. Bye-bye. How come all my glasses always breathe? But it's a bitch and saves an hour of speech. And yeah, it's fickle and it feels so cheap. But I can rest and I can feel it eases. My friends don't know the half, they're just listening. I'm at a loss cause I'm living it. It's not to say that I'm giving in. It's just that this is how it's always been. And it comes as no surprise. It's like, I just don't know what you're doing wrong.